Topic 47. Working together. It was one of those impossible projects. The kind you hear about that sounds both exhilarating and terrifying at the same time. An ancient system was approaching end of life. The hardware was physically going away, and a brand new system had to be crafted that would match the often undocumented behavior exactly. Many hundreds of millions of dollars of other people's money would pass through this system, and the deadline from inception to deployment was on the order of months. And that is where Andy and Dave first met, an impossible project with a ridiculous deadline. There was only one thing that made the project a roaring success. The expert who had managed this system for years was sitting right there in her office, just across the hall from their broom closet-sized development room, continuously available for questions, clarifications, decisions, and demos. Throughout this book, we recommend working closely with users. They are part of your team. On that first project together, we practiced what now might be called pair programming or mob programming. One person typing code while one or more other team members comment, ponder, and solve problems together. It's a powerful way of working together that transcends endless meetings, memos, and overstuffed legalistic documentation prized for weight over usefulness. And that's what we really mean by working with. Not just asking questions, having discussions, and taking notes, but asking questions and having discussions while you're actually coding. Conway's Law. In 1967, Melvin Conway introduced an idea in How Do Committees Invent?, which would become known as Conway's Law. Organizations which design systems are constrained to produce designs which are copies of the communication structures of these organizations. That is, the social structures and communication pathways of the team and the organization will be mirrored in the application, website, or product being developed. Various studies have shown strong support for this idea. We've witnessed it firsthand countless times. For example, in teams where no one talks to each other at all, resulting in siloed stovepipe systems. Or teams that were split into two, resulting in a client-server or front-end-back-end division. Studies also offer support for the reverse principle. You can deliberately structure your team the way you want your code to look. For example, geographically distributed teams are shown to tend towards more modular, distributed software. But most importantly, development teams that include users will produce software that clearly reflects that involvement. And teams that don't bother will reflect that too. Pair programming. Pair programming is one of the practices of extreme programming that has become popular outside of XP itself. In pair programming, one developer operates the keyboard and the other does not. Both work on the problem together and can switch typing duties as needed. There are many benefits to pair programming. Different people bring different backgrounds and experience, different problem-solving techniques and approaches, and differing levels of focus and attention to any given problem. The developer acting as typist must focus on the low-level details of syntax and coding style, while the other developer is free to consider higher-level issues and scope. While that might sound like a small distinction, remember that we humans have only so much brain bandwidth. Fiddling around with typing esoteric words and symbols that the compiler will grudgingly accept takes a fair bit of our own processing power. Having a second developer's full brain available during the task brings a lot more mental power to bear. The inherent peer pressure of a second person helps against moments of weakness and bad habits of naming variables foo and such. You're less inclined to take a potentially embarrassing shortcut when someone is actively watching, which also results in higher quality software. Mob programming. And if two heads are better than one, what about having a dozen diverse people all working on the same problem at the same time with one typist? Mob programming, despite the name, does not involve torches or pitchforks. It's an extension of pair programming that involves more than just two developers. Proponents report great results using mobs to solve hard problems. Mobs can easily include people not usually considered part of the development team, including users, project sponsors, and testers. In fact, In their first impossible project together, it was a common sight for one of them to be typing while the other discussed the issue with their business expert. It was a small mob of three. You might think of mob programming as tight collaboration with live coding. What should I do? If you're currently only programming solo, maybe try pair programming. Give it a minimum of 2 weeks, only a few hours at a time, as it will feel strange at first. To brainstorm new ideas or diagnose thorny issues, perhaps try a mob programming session. If you are already pairing or mobbing, who's included? Is it just developers, or do you allow members of your extended team to participate? Users, testers, sponsors, whoever. And, as with all collaboration, you need to manage the human aspects of it as well as the technical. Here are just a few tips to get started. Build the code, not your ego. It's not about who's brightest. We all have our moments, good and bad. Start small. Mob with only 4 to 5 people, or start with just a few pairs in short sessions. Criticize the code, not the person. "Let's look at this block" sounds much better than "you're wrong." Listen and try to understand others' viewpoints. Different isn't wrong. Conduct frequent retrospectives to try and improve for next time. Coding in the same office or remote, alone, in pairs, or in mobs, are all effective ways of working together to solve problems. If you and your team have only ever done it one way, you might want to experiment with a different style. But don't just jump in with a naive approach. There are rules, suggestions, and guidelines for each of these development styles. For instance, with mob programming, you swap out the typist every 5 to 10 minutes. Do some reading and research, from both textbook and experience reports, and get a feel for the advantages and pitfalls you may encounter. You might want to start by coding a simple exercise and not just jump straight into your toughest production code. But, however you go about it, let us suggest one final piece of advice. Tip 82. Don't go into the code alone.